Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would open our minds and our hearts to your word this morning. Amen. Now, would you like to open your Bibles, please, at the reading that David brought to us from Acts? It was on page 131, started there. Most of it's on page 132. It's Acts chapter 8, and it's starting at verse 26. Now, this account in Acts starts and finishes, we see, on a supernatural note. In verse 26, we see that Philip was prompted to set off on his route by an angel giving very specific instructions. And then, verse 39 and 40 speak of a miraculous and sudden removal of Philip to another location. So we know that the Lord is involved in this from the beginning right to the end. Well, let's have a look at verse 29. Philip has encountered this Ethiopian eunuch sitting in his chariot, reading from the prophet Isaiah. And we read that the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he replied, "Can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Have you ever been reading your Bible and felt the same frustration? How can I understand this unless somebody guides me? Have you? I've heard people say that actually what the Bible teaches is really very simple, but that theologians get in the way and complicate things. Well, theologians might do that. They might do it sometimes. C.S. Lewis once accused some of claiming to be able to read so much between the lines of the text, but failed to read the lines themselves. But even so, I still find that some of the Bible is actually pretty difficult to understand with or without theologians. So what about you? Does that ring a bell? Does it can you feel the same sometimes? Now, we could just say, "Oh, I'll just stick to the simple stuff. I don't need to understand all the difficult bits." Well, it may not be good to go in too deep too soon. But there comes a time when we need to go deeper into Scripture if we're going to go deeper into our relationship with God. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews puts it like this at the end of chapter 5. There comes a time when we need to stop being like infants on spiritual milk and we need to progress to solid food. So that when we develop a deeper understanding of God's word, we can also develop a closer relationship with him. Not only that, we're also more able to answer people when our faith is challenged. And we're more able to be salt and light to those around us. If we came across somebody like the Ethiopian eunuch, would we have enough understanding to be able to help him? Okay, so how do we go from milk to solids? Well, I think this account of Philip and the eunuch gives some useful guidance. I suppose we may have to start with acknowledgement that we need help. That may mean having to swallow our pride. You look at this Ethiopian, he was an important official in the royal court, moving along in his chauffeur-driven chariot. We assume that because I don't think he could have been reading and driving at the same time. It was in the days before mobile phones. He might well have been a proselyte Jew. That is, someone who'd converted to Judaism. Because we read that he'd gone to Jerusalem to worship and was now on his way home, sitting in his chariot, reading the scroll of Isaiah. So he was a very important man. Philip, on the other hand, was in society's eyes a nobody. He wasn't even an apostle. If you want to know his background, I think it's in Acts chapter 6. Nevertheless, this important man is humble enough to admit that he needs help and to invite Philip to come up and sit with him. There will be times when we need to admit that we need help and to have the humility to ask for it. In making himself and his relationship known to us, God provides us with what we need. He gives us the scripture, and he also gives us his Holy Spirit. But this episode demonstrates that along with reading the Bible and being guided by the Holy Spirit, it's also good to receive good teaching. Now, a word of warning here, not all teaching is good. And it's never wise to accept that something is so just because somebody who is very important and clever and appears on the radio a lot has said it. The sort of people that C.S. Lewis was talking about would probably be worth avoiding. We should always receive teaching using that discernment which is given by the Holy Spirit. And if we're not sure about something, it's always good to talk it through with one or two other people, people who we trust. Now, teaching comes in different forms. We're taught through the preaching of the word, which we're privileged to receive each week here at St. George's. And there's also access to a great number of sermons from different places on the internet. We live in very exciting times for that, and we have so much access to so much good stuff. Sometimes, just talking things through with a friend can be what's needed. Or if we feel in the same boat as the eunuch, we might consider looking to a Philip to help us, looking for someone who we know knows a bit more than we do. I've found that looking at the Bible together in a home group is a great way of growing in understanding. Now, I lead a home group, but that doesn't mean that I come with all the answers. Often, somebody in the home group will make a point and I'll think, wow, that's helpful. I'd not thought of that. If you're not in a home group, I do recommend that you join one. They really are useful, so do join one if you can. Okay. So what about private Bible reading? How do we get help there? Well, for one thing, there's a lot of daily study notes around which give a daily reading followed by some notes on the passage. Many people find these helpful, and they can even be ordered through the church if you'd like to. And some are even free. For instance, the Word for Today is produced by UCB, United Christian Broadcasters, and you can get that for free. There are also many Bible commentaries around, some dry and, well, I think they're written by those theologians that we were talking about earlier. They use very big words, and I have no idea what they're talking about half the time. But some of them are really good, and I must say that this is, I think, my favourite way of looking at the Bible, with a good commentary. And my favourite ones are, there's two series. There's one called The Bible Speaks Today, and that's really good, it's readable. And the series editor is Alec Matthias, so it should be good, shouldn't it? And I like these ones as well. These are Focus on the Bible commentaries. They're really good as well. But there's other good ones around as well. But I would recommend reading the Bible with a good commentary. I like them because they give good explanations of the passages, including the tricky bits. There are some commentaries around that go into great detail about the things you already know about and then skip over the difficult bits as if they're not even there. But these don't dodge those issues as a whole. They're pretty good. Now, it does take me ages to get through one of these books. I only seem to be able to take in so much at a time. So I rarely get through a whole chapter in one sitting. But that's okay. It's okay for me. I go at my own pace, and that's fine. And as well as helping me to understand what the passage is about, these books also give good application for living the Christian life. In fact, they even draw out helpful and interesting application from the bits that without help, I'd have just read through and got very little from them. We've done that in a passage in the Bible. You read it, and at the end of it, you think, well, okay, move on to the next one. Nothing's really happened. But some of these writers, I think Dale Ralph Davis is brilliant at this. He brings out really good stuff from even those passages. I find him really helpful. Anyway, application then is very important. James didn't think much of people who just read the Bible but didn't allow it to change them. He wrote, "For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they're like those who look at themselves in a mirror and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into God's word and persevere, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they'll be blessed in their doing." That's James chapter 1 from verse 23. So we need not to be hearers who forget, but doers who act. Application's important. And we can see from today's account that it was important for the Ethiopian. He didn't just receive a lot of head knowledge and then trundle off in his chariot. He first said, "Look, here's water. What's to prevent me from being baptized?" And baptized he was. He responded to what he'd been taught. So there's the first lesson that we can learn from today's passage. It's that God not only provides scripture and his spirit, but he also provides teachers to open the scriptures up to us. And we do well if we take advantage of this provision. Now, the second point that I want to draw out from today's reading concerns evangelism. Now, we can see from this account that the work of the Holy Spirit is fundamental to evangelism. As I've said, there's a supernatural beginning and a supernatural end. And how providential is it that the Ethiopian has been drawn to read this passage from Isaiah and that Philip had been sent to speak to him? I reckon if you'd asked Philip, what would you like him to be reading when you came up to speak to him? It could very possibly have been that passage. Even as a proselyte Jew, the Ethiopian would not have been likely to understand that this passage pointed to the Messiah. First century Judaism was looking for a triumphant Messiah rather than a suffering servant. So he needed Philip to explain about Jesus. He needed Philip at that point. So although the work of the Holy Spirit is essential to evangelism, the appointed means is usually through men and women. And there are different forms of evangelism. At the beginning of this chapter, if you look at verse 5 to 8, we read that Philip addressed crowds of Samaritans. And we read that many accepted the word of God. Now we've seen these mass rallies, haven't we, where people have spoken to large crowds. There's the Billy Graham Crusades in this country, that probably the most well-known, that went on from the late 1950s, I think it was, right up to about 1989, the last one. But there are many others as well. So these big mass rallies. There's also smaller groups, such as the Alpha groups and the Christianity Explored groups that we have here. But Philip with the Ethiopian is an example of a different form of evangelism, which we may call personal evangelism, where one person coming alongside another in private conversation patiently leads someone to Christ. In this case, in one sitting, quite often over a period of time. Now, leading massive crusades and even smaller alpha groups won't be within the calling or the gifting of most of us. But I do believe that we should all be prepared to be part of personal evangelism. The Ethiopian eunuch had travelled to Jerusalem, where he might easily have encountered and been converted by one of the apostles. The apostles were still in Jerusalem at that time, although people like Philip had been scattered because of the persecution. So he could have gone to Jerusalem, met an apostle, and been converted. It's what you'd expect, probably. But the Lord had chosen a different way. He'd chosen Philip to be the one to lead the Ethiopian to Christ. Not in Jerusalem, the holy city, but in the desert. Not through an apostle, but through a humble church servant. And I think we need to take this lesson to heart. Evangelism is not confined to mass rallies led by the chosen few. Often, quietly gossiping the gospel in a one-to-one conversation is God's way. It's actually how I came to know Jesus, and it's how Michael, who gave his testimony at the men's breakfast yesterday, came to know Jesus. I'm still buzzing from that. It's great to hear. So it's not just for vicars and curates to get alongside and chip away. Each one of us needs to be ready to play a part. Okay, so there's two lessons then I'd like us to take home from this reading this morning. First, sometimes we need to be like the eunuch. Not in a physical way, you'll be relieved to know. But we need to persevere to understand God's word by reading it, by receiving help, and also by receiving teaching to aid us in our understanding. And then secondly, we need to be prepared to be like Philip, so that when the Lord puts us alongside someone who needs help and encouragement, we'll be in a position to give it. So let's remember those two points. Before I finish, I'd just like to mention that between looking at the part of the book of Hosea, we've also been focusing on the worldwide focus, haven't we? And this Ethiopian eunuch is the first recorded account of a black African convert to Christianity. It's a reminder that God's grace is not confined to any culture or race. Last week, Rob Munro reminded us that the number of black African Anglicans now far outnumbers the number of white Western Anglicans. So what a massive oak tree has grown from that little acorn that Philip planted. As Paul wrote to the Romans, the same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've not yet called on the name of the Lord, and why not? What's to prevent you from being baptized? Would you like to pray with me? Father, please help us to go deeper into your word. Please lead us alongside others where we can share the good news of your Son, our Savior, the Savior for all the nations. Amen.